Well, good morning, everyone. I know today's a very unusual day for a lot of us. I'm trying something out for the first time. I'm going to record this message, and we'll see how this goes. I want to read a couple of passages to you. This is Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. And then a slightly longer one. This is Psalm 9:13-18. Psalm 9:13-18. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. O you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk in the pit they have made, in the net they have hid, their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. Higgalon, Selah. The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forgot God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Word of prayer. O great God, how astounding is your amazing justice and mercy. You are the great judge and protector of the poor. You call upon us to execute your plan, Lord. Jesus, you came down even to rescue us. How great you are, our God. Lord, we have no value or redemption for ourselves. We are without righteousness. We have no honor. It is only your plan, your Son, your Word, your grace, and the Holy Spirit that can save us. Lord, you are the Most High and the Almighty. Open our hearts to hear your Word and to follow you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. This is your Soma Virtual Edition for 22 March 2020. I'm glad you're listening in to hear the words of our Lord through the prophet Zechariah. There's a short piece here about the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. This is from 2 Timothy 1:3-7. 2 Timothy 1:3-7. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. In this time of great uncertainty, we have the promise of God, written here by the Apostle Paul. We need to remember this, each and every one of us, especially me. Recall that last week we talked about the crown, both the crown and the high priest and the crown of Jesus. Jesus' crown was his king and high priest, both together. The high priest's crown was an earthly crown made of silver and gold and made by human hands. The crown of Jesus will, no doubt, be the most pure gold and silver, and made not with earthly hands. We also talked about the temple, both the earthly temple of Jerusalem and the heavenly one that God is making for us, his church, to be with Jesus on that last day in heaven. This week, we're looking at the next revelation to Zechariah from God. And here, Zechariah reveals that God is interested in justice and mercy. This passage is Zechariah 7:1-14. This is the 10th of Zechariah's visions, and the vision here is opened in a similar way to the previous one. And again, this vision adds to what has already been written. So Zechariah 7, 1 through 14. We're going to look at verse 1 through 3 first. Verse 1 through 3. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Chislev. Now the people of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Regem-Melech and their men to entreat the favor of the Lord, saying to the priests of the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, "Should I weep and abstain in the fifth month as I have done for so many years?" So this is the fourth year, the fourth day of the ninth month. The date is December 7th, 518 BC. Remember, I talked about how our calendar and the Babylonian calendar actually do line up, and we know how those actually work. And so we know precisely what day this actually happened to Zechariah. God gives Zechariah a dream. And this dream happens about 2 years after the previous one. We tend to think that things in the Bible happen very sequentially and that they connect from one piece to the next. First one, then the next, then the next. But God only gives us these snippets. We don't get the pieces that fill in the gaps. We're not meant to have those gaps. Perhaps someday we will find out what happens in between. Or perhaps God will withhold those and keep them a secret for himself. It is his to give or withhold. Note here, though, a minor question arises about the law. Should we fast again this year? So the people of Bethel send Sharezer and Regem-Melech, along with some others, to ask the priests of the Lord a question. There was a fast coming, and they were asking if they should weep and abstain in the fifth month, as they had done for so many years before. It seems like a really trivial thing to be asking. Verse 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me. Say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh for these 70 years, was it for me that you had fasted? Oh, ouch. Can you tell here that God isn't happy? God asks if their fasting was for him or if it was for themselves. The people had been fasting, but it is implied here there was grumbling about it. Instead of being thankful to God for all the blessings they enjoyed, it appears they were instead focused on themselves. Verse 6 and 7. And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous with her cities round her? And the south and the lowland were inhabited. So here in verses 6 and 7, it is, if you look at it, it's right here. And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? The people were not thankful to God for what he was giving to them, all their blessings, and they were not thankful for them. Listen to the words of Jesus here. This is John 6, 31 to 33. John 6, 31 to 33. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The lesson that Jesus was teaching here was to Philip. This chapter of John should probably be called the bread chapter, because it has more references to bread than any other in the Bible, I think. 17 times in this one chapter, it references bread. And in many cases, the bread is a metaphor for Jesus. And most often, it is the bread that gives life. And indeed, it is Jesus that gives the life worth living. It is the life that God intended for all of us to live. And so few of us do live that here on earth. I know I don't. Zechariah knows that the bread we eat is a metaphor for something far greater that God intends for his people. Zechariah points out to the people of the times before, when the kingdom of Israel followed after God, and Jerusalem was bustling and prosperous, and the towns and villages to the south, and the lowlands towards the sea were all inhabited with people. Zechariah wants them to remember what it was like at that time when all the people followed after God. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. Let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." Verse 8 here, this is the lesson here. We have heard this from Jesus. Turn over to Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. A lawyer is asking Jesus a question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So the question is, what does this mean to us? This story comes from the Bible in 1 year. I found this online while I was reading for this passage. It's a story I heard this week. Two people went through school and university together and developed a close friendship. Life went on, they went their separate ways and lost contact. One went on to become a judge, while the other's life spiraled downward and he ended up as a criminal. One day the criminal appeared before the judge. He'd committed a crime to which he pleaded guilty. The judge recognized his old friend, and he faced a dilemma, which, in effect, God faces with us. He was a judge, so he had to be just. He could not simply let the man off. On the other hand, he wanted to be merciful because he loved his friend. So he fined him the correct penalty for the offense, and that was justice. Then he came down from his position as judge and wrote a check for the amount of the fine. And he gave it to his friend, saying that he would pay the penalty for him. And that was an act of mercy, of love, and of sacrifice. Something you should remember, though, the story is not a perfect image in itself. Our position to God is far worse. Our sentence we face is death. Our relationship is stronger. Our Father in heaven loves us more than any human parent could possibly love their child. And the propitiation is far, far greater. It costs God far more than anything we can imagine. God came himself in the person of Jesus and paid the penalty for our sin. We are to give perfect justice and perfect mercy, the justice and the mercy that God would have us give. Back to Zechariah, verses 11 and 12. "But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they may not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore great anger came from the Lord of hosts." Here in verses 11 and 12, how great is the hardness of the hearts of men. When confronted by the God of the universe, we turn a blind ear and look away so that we do not have to see. This is a great lesson for us now. In the eastern part of the United States, there was a 93-year-old man. He had served his country admirably in World War II. And he was suffering from having been infected by COVID-19. This just happened a couple of days ago. He lay dying in a hospital bed, and because his family were also sick with the disease and in isolation, they could not come to his bedside to say goodbye before he died. As Christians, we're called to help people exactly like these. To go to them, to be there at their sides, and hold their hand as they step through the door to eternity, so that they do not leave this earth alone. It is our responsibility to be there, so that they are not alone, and that they would not have gone through this door without hearing the name of Jesus and what he did for them. We are called to minister to people just exactly like this, the sick, the dying, and the poor. Verse 13 and 14. As I called, and they would not hear, so they called, and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. How firm and complete is the justice of the Lord. How hard this must have been for Zechariah, to call the people to follow after God, to not eat and drink for themselves, but to give of themselves as God would have them do, to be thankful to God for what he gives to us. 2,000 years ago, the Jewish people were scattered across the civilized world. And since that time, they had not had a homeland. In 1948, the Jews were given back part of their land, and since that time, they have reclaimed a bit more of it. At present, modern Israel is giving some of that reclaimed land back again, this time to the Palestinians, the people, so that they might have their own nation. Yet the land still remains desolate. The lesson Zechariah is proclaiming is not dissimilar to the one Jesus gave us. Do you remember the passage? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Do you pray for your enemies? Do you pray for the people in government? Not just the ones you agree with, but the ones that you have the greatest difficulty with. Do you show kindness to the poor, to the sick? At times like these, do not be anxious. If God will call you home, what is there for you to do about it? Or if God has a further purpose for you, will you be like the prophet Isaiah? In Isaiah 6:8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah did not hesitate. He immediately stood tall and firm, and even unto God he said, here I am, send me, that I would have that kind of courage to stand, to be counted for Jesus. In these days of chaos and the coronavirus epidemic, how will we be remembered years and years and years from now after we're gone? Will we be the Christians who were just like everyone else and stood back away from the sick because of fear? Or will we stand up and say, here I am, send me? O great Lord God, how great is your justice and your mercy that Jesus comes down to teach us that lesson. And Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for us. Jesus covers our sin, taking it upon himself and dying in our place, and so to save each one of us, to show others who Jesus is. How beautiful will be that day, Jesus, when you come back, to see the streets of gold, the jewels, the light of your glory. Lord, what it must be like to see your shining city on the hill, the new Jerusalem. How great is your promise to us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you and give honor to your name, to worship you and your Son and your Holy Spirit. Lord, in times past we have sung the song that says, I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled. The whole earth is filled and the whole earth is filled with his glory. Amen. How amazing are you, God. Lord, we love you. Jesus, we sing praise to you for your greatest of all gifts to us, yourself. We thank you and we praise you. Amen.